Hey, let me call to order the Flood Resilience Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for this Monday, May 3rd. It's good to see everybody here. And our agenda has been published. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the April 5th meeting.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. Anyone here for public comments? Please come forward if you will. Anybody? Nope. All right, we will move on to item four, which is update on the bid process and possible effects of cost increases on drainage projects. Mr. DeMora had let us know recently that, and we all know that building prices on everything, from homes to boats to buildings to sewer lines and wastewater and, I'm sorry, stormwater are going up. So if you'd give us an idea of what we're looking at, I know bids and purchases did its duty this morning, but if you'd let us know kind of what this looks like and how this may affect us in terms of funding future flood or current flooding issues.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mayor. Good morning. Drainage has been a major initiative, drainage improvements has been a major initiative of yours and of the members of this council. And we've been constructing a program for a couple of years now to try to improve several areas of town, starting with some of the most vulnerable. And you are correct. In a report that I had delivered, we mentioned that our Royal Avenue Drainage Project, number one, number one basin most in need of restoration, located in the old village area of town, that the bid for that came in roughly from $7 million, which was the expected amount, to $10 million. Obviously that was alarming, I think, to everyone involved, and it's yet to be determined. Time will tell whether that was a one-off situation or is that going to be the norm going forward. That's troubling to us in many different ways, not just in drainage projects, but other projects, especially transportation. Following up on the Royal Avenue project, you know, we have Edwards Basin ready to go next. We had borrowed $10 million. The idea was is that Royal would be $6-7 million, roll over what's left into Edwards, hopefully get some federal aid through grants, I'm not talking other stimulus, which would allow us to reach Edwards and then hopefully free up some additional money at the end to reach Hobcaw, which is next after that. But with what we've experienced so far, obviously we're very concerned about that. Obviously very concerned, I know this is a Flood Resilience Committee, but about the major transportation projects we have ready to go to be bid and what that'll mean. We're concerned. Again, time will tell whether it's one-off or it's going to be the norm going forward. In any event, we have sufficient funds to award the Royal Avenue project, and that was done this morning, thanks to Mr. Chapman's committee. And right now, we have applied for, well, here in the fall, but there are two grants that we've applied for to support the Edwards Park drainage basin. One's through flood mitigation assistance, and the other one's through BRIC, which is Building Resilient Infrastructures and Communities. Both of those, the grant request was about $5.3 million, and there's a match required to it. We're able to put up the match for that, but with some more work, hopefully a little bit of luck, at least one of those grants will come through, and that'll allow us to reach Edwards Park. If not, now we're looking at how we can utilize and leverage any stimulus money to help continue our drainage efforts. And so, in a nutshell, I guess that's it, sir.
Okay. First, I want to mention, last week had two meetings with our federal office holders. They want us to, and we probably already do this, they wanted to make sure they always know when we have a federal grant application so that they can champion it for us. And that's probably already being done.
Yes.
That we might all have to get on the phone and call them. Second, let me ask Councilman Chapman, the motion that y'all passed in bids and purchases on the Royal basin. So there's some negotiation maybe to try to get that down. I think Thomason Hutton is here. If we might have some questions about how costs, you know, were rising and just what that looks like on the horizon.
Right. The motion was that we proceed with the bid, but in doing that, allow staff and consultants possibly to negotiate with the low bidder, and if that's not successful, maybe look at another one. So process is there. I think we'll be successful in doing that. You know, people sometimes get a little hungry when there's a question whether or not they're going to get that particular project. So that's the basis upon which we would be negotiating. And question I had on the grants is there anything we can do to help? And when the specific date for award has been put out? I'm sure there was a date specific for the award.
That's right, sir. We'll learn in December or January. That's a specific date. We hear usually before that. During the application process was when, we received letters of support, which helps. And then it goes into a pretty competitive selection process. And so after that, I'm not sure if Ms. Knight is here, but she was heading up the day-to-day. Oh, there's Amanda. Hi, Amanda. If Amanda could weigh in on maybe if there are opportunities or not as we get closer to the
yes, sir.
To the award.
Good morning.
Hey, Amanda.
I think that we will hear from, I think first from South Carolina Emergency Management Division, as well as the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, as to how well we're doing, but certainly any championing that you guys can do, I think would be very helpful.
Yes, absolutely.
Have we received any comments our application? And the reason I'm asking is I want to make sure that if we receive comments, that we respond timely to those.
Yes, sir. So we did not receive any requests for information, which is a good thing, from the state, and now it's in the federal with FEMA. And so we have not received any further comment or requests for information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't think there are any more questions of Amanda.
No.
Could we ask Thomason Hutton a few questions? Rick, can I ask?
Yes, sir.
Right. So when we have what the motion that was passed this morning, so that does not mean that bid is approved and will be entered into. So it's sort of in limbo that it's acknowledged that it was the lowest bid by a qualified bidder.
Yes, sir.
But if we don't come to terms, then we're not obligated. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm not making any mistakes.
We move. We have the opportunity to move to the next bidder.
Okay. So I guess what I would be asking, and we'll keep in the sense of time, where's there room to negotiate?
Well, there's several areas. You know, change of scope is one. We could take portions of the project out, which is one area that we're looking at. And then number two is some negotiations with, there's a major component of this project that has to do with the water and sewer,
mm-hmm.
Relocating those utilities out of the way. And we are, as a requirement of working with Mount Pleasant Water Work, they have to have a qualified contractor from their list. So you're almost limited to a small. So we're doing something there to maybe open that up or do a negotiation with that major sub consultant to see if we could reduce his costs some. One of the requirements that we had in the contract was a requirement of our SCDOT encroachment permit that affects the cost, and they wanted a certain thing. We had heard from Mount Pleasant, we brought that up. We said, hey, look, this is really driving up the cost. What have you guys done? And they said, we've negotiated with the DOT and we don't have to do that anymore. So that's, we're going to go back to the DOT and say, hey, can we take this requirement out? And then that might drop the cost some. So if we change the spec for that particular thing, that should drive down the cost. So those are at least three of the areas that we will be looking at with Kathy later.
Okay. And the big surprise, I guess, from 7 million to almost 10 million, what, you know, where, because we'll have a lot of contracts out for a lot of stuff.
You know, one, not of just them, this, yeah. One of the big ones was the cost of relocating water lines.
Okay.
I mean, we according to our, you know, opinion, it should be much lower, but according to the contractors, it's much higher. I mean, it's something that we've never really seen that high. Now, it could be two things. Well, it could be several things, but two of the largest are, you know, it's Mount Pleasant Water Works contractors, and they know doing work in the old village just comes with so many unknowns, and mm-hmm. they really costed in a lot of the unknowns
okay. That
they believe they're going to get. And one of them, frankly, has to do with the contracting nowadays. You know, locally, contractors are in high demand. They do not have to necessarily sharpen their pencils too much. And then we are, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic, and all the supply chains and all the costs and all that have been interrupted. And so we have, you know, timber, you know, if you've been up to Home Depot and bought a 2x4, the timber has gone up like 200%, steel changing by the hour. You know, what they're doing is they get a quote, and then they have to accelerate that quote because we got a 12-month job, and they don't know what's going to happen in 12 months. Mm-hmm. They know like today what the cost of steel is, but they don't know what it is in 6 months when they need it on site. So those are the unknowns that we are dealing with. But, I believe we have, you know, if the contractor is willing to work with the town, I believe, you know, we have a way to get to a point where we can still produce a very good project for the town.
Okay. Do we need to communicate with Waterworks on this?
I believe that communication has started already.
Okay.
We've got a meeting later this week to begin that process.
All right.
At least at the staff level.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Any other questions about this? Yes.
I have a comment, not a question, and I'm not sure how council moves on this or doesn't. But at the end of the day, everything we do is about prioritization, financial prioritization, and the will of council. And I think we've all spoken loudly about the need for fixing these drainage issues. It's something that we all agree upon. The other thing that I know that's going to happen, and there may be a couple of questions, but we're going to receive stimulus money. We are. And I think that there could be action by the council at some point, maybe not, but just to say that we're going to create a reserve account from the stimulus money to make sure that any overages or lack of grant funding doesn't slow down or stop a project. Mm-hmm. And I think staff could build a reserve, maybe, like, okay, grants don't come in, up, need this much more, or $3 million overage, need this much more. So that when we start sitting around here thinking it's Christmas and wanting to buy things, we have this reserve sitting here that says that's off limits. Mm-hmm. Because of our loud prioritization of drainage that I think we all kind of agree on. So I don't know what the process on that, but that's what's going through my mind. So that we don't slow it down, we don't spend money, we prioritize the money where it needs to be prioritized.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
On that same subject, so simplistically speaking, you could call it a rainy day fund or a overage planning type of fund. But this is something we made it through last year so well, thanks to our finance department and so forth, largely due to shuffling things around. I think our community definitely would do very well having such a rainy day fund that says, hey, if things cost more or if something happens where we don't have as much ATAC or whatever it is that we're expecting. I do want to say, unfortunately, we're a little bit victims of circumstances, and I don't mean victim in a terrible, feel sorry for ourselves way, but we had planned out this drainage project for quite a while, and then the permitting came through, and we did the $10 million bond offering. Everything was all planned out. It just so happens that a whole lot of other communities and a whole lot of other places not too far away are getting stimulus money and are coming out of COVID and are doing things that they put off. And so it's really more a matter of timing, and you wonder, is there a way? We can't do anything different on what we're doing with this drainage, but, you know, in terms of our priorities, when we're spending, you hate to, it's like trying to buy a house right now. You try to buy a house right now, you're paying way over asking just because of that. So the things we have to do now, we do now. Some things we may want to think about our timing on.
And I will say, like, it's not necessarily other communities. I think we are competing a little bit with the private side of things, you know, home building, you know, residential, commercial, multifamily, not necessarily Mount Pleasant, but in the region is just through the roof. You guys know that, you know, I mean, you go drive downtown, there's cranes on every corner. So again, we are competing with that side of the industry also. You know, all these contractors work on the private and public side.
Last question on this. If you had to guess a timeline for it coming back to the committee.
Yes, sir. And please know, committee's authorized us to proceed and execute a contract when we're ready. I know Rick and his team at Thomas and Hutton are working hard on it, but my guess is we'll have all these negotiations done within 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Where we can execute a contract at that point if we're comfortable. If not, if there's a considerable problem where it needs your involvement, we'll come back and talk about it. But otherwise, we expect to have some success. We do have a situation, I think, with our friends at Waterworks, where this is a cost that's, you know, I'm not sure we should be bearing. I think it's $2.5 million of the cost. So that's going to take a little bit of time, maybe some help. But we're long answer. I'm sorry, Mayor. We're planning on moving as quickly as we can so the project can start.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Chapman.
Mayor, I'd just like to bring up, we're going to be in negotiations. Our staff is, and our consultant are going to be in negotiations. We have to be careful how much we say about what our alternatives are. That doesn't help our negotiations at all. So I would encourage council to stay hands off of what our alternatives might be until they get through with the negotiations.
Thank you. Rick, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for y'all's work. This moves us to item 5, the Royal Avenue drainage project that we were talking about, the community feedback from the meeting and the review of further community outreach. I know I went, and I think a lot of others went. Andy, you were there, and your crowd, your staff did a great job talking to the crowd.
Yes, sir. Thank you. On April 14th, we had our community meeting. It was from 5 to 7 at Alhambra Hall, and Thomas and Hutton and town staff were there to present and answer questions to whoever had them. We had about 25 to 30 residents come to the meeting, and we had set up some monitors with the actual town website on it, the interactive map that we showed at the last flood resiliency committee meeting. We had a copy of the plans that we could flip through and show people, and we had the flyers with the QR codes and showed them how they could get to the website and the contact forms and all that. Overall, it was a very positive meeting. The biggest question was, what's going on in front of my house and when is it going to occur? And we could show them what was planned to go on in front of their house, and we can give them a rough idea of where it would fit in the schedule, but we couldn't answer specifics due to the contractors. You know, they'll come up with their final plan once it's awarded. Other questions were about tree removal, and the products we had produced were very useful because they were imagery based, and you could pull them up and look at the trees and say, yep, that looks like it's out of the path of construction and it should be good. there was some questions on restoration and how we would put things back. We had, I think, one complaint about that, you know, because we're going to cap irrigation that's in the right-of-way instead of putting it all back the way it was. And there was one person that wasn't happy with that, but I think that's to be expected. And then there were several questions about on-street parking. Like, you know, we had a resident that said he was holding off on it because he knew the project was coming through, but what could he put in afterwards? And that's something that as a group we may have to look at options or figure out how we want to address that as these projects move forward. Other than those were the primary questions, and we've got a communications plan in place to continue throughout the project. We'll be, as I presented at the last meeting, we'll be looking at the town webpage, will be updated, the interactive map will be updated. We've got that contact form that residents can reach out with specific questions. We also have the use of the Nextdoor app if we need it, and we plan on having a town rep in the field to answer questions and interact with the residents as they identify issues.
Are there any questions? Good. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Lane.
I have one bit of feedback. I put the video out when it was available so that folks would know what was going on. I mean, even for people that don't live on this side of town, I put it in Nextdoor, which is, mine is way up in the northern end of town. But one thing I can say, I think if, it sounds like a semantic, but I think if we could put Jen and what she says right at the beginning, as opposed to, you'd probably get a lot more people going on there to interact. There's something about a human smiling face that's about to tell you something to introduce it versus just having the shrubbery and the sort of Google Map type of looking picture, because I just think people click on things when they can hear a voice. And she did an excellent job, I don't know if she's in the room, but anyway, of setting the stage for what this was about and why it was important. So I hate to think that people don't click on it because they think it's going to be boring or too in the weeds, so to speak, or whatever, but no, she did an excellent job. So let's see if we can highlight that, if that's possible.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see what we can do.
Sounds good. Andy, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Item six is information on possible sources of funding for drainage projects. We all know we got a lot of things swirling. I was at a meeting with regional mayors last week and our member of Congress, and everybody's big item issue is infrastructure. Congresswoman Mace is on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, so we're in good shape with that. But we want to know what the sources are, what we can be looking at for funding for these as we move forward, especially now that prices are going up.
Yeah. There's four grants that we spoke of a few minutes ago. What's been called earmarks or appropriations at the federal level. Earmarks are back in the federal budget. We've been speaking to members of Congress directly or through their staff members about whether they're accepting earmarks or not, or accepting some other form of an appropriation request. We're pursuing that. You have ARPA, which is the one that's made the most, has had the most media coverage, the $32 million or so that we're expected to get. The Treasury, we're still waiting on direction from the Treasury on exactly how that money can be spent. You know, preliminary indications were, while we think the spirit of what has been passed is going to cover drainage, it doesn't specifically say drainage. So those things are going to have to be flushed out and made sure it's an eligible expense. But more to come with that. And then the last one is anything that may come out of an infrastructure bill, if it passes Congress. So, and what that amount is and when it's coming and how fast it's going to be coming our way. So those are the really, and I guess the fifth one would be, Mayor, anything that we can squeak out of our own budget.
Right.
All right.
Right. So. That we know, and I appreciate it. The purpose of that item was the information you gave us. What are the ones that we don't have direct control of that we could be looking at? Yeah. Council members, any? Councilman Chapman, any?
No,
any,
sir.
Secrets from your 20 years in this type
only
of?
Only thing I would plead with council is don't show our hand before the negotiations are over.
Right.
Anything we throw out there, if I was a contractor, I'd be pinpointing. And so I would just encourage council to not show our hand
Okay.
Until it's needed.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Just one quick thing. I know we're short on time. I did stop by and speak with Ms. Kotov the other day on some of the debt that we issued in the last couple of years, even though we thought at the time the rates were fantastic. Rates are even lower now, as we know, with new projects. So one of the things I know they're going to continuously look at is refinancing our debt, because we are in a great position, AAA, and on top of that, rates are extraordinarily low right now. So that's an area that I don't know it will yield a lot, but it may yield additional bonding ability for the future.
All right. Thank you. Item number 7 is to adjourn. If there's nothing holding over, nothing else for this committee, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.
And just stay right.